So while we receive the offering, I'm going to kick off and we're going to read and reflect about grace and generosity and thanksgiving this morning. So that's where I want to end this today. We sung this morning that, you know, just His love is greater. And that once, like, I was just reflecting as we worshiped that He has always, when we consider our lives and our story, our reflection is God has always been faithful. You know, my story is that not so much, you know, up and down, you know. But then you consider how faithful and gracious and loving and merciful and consistent God has been in our lives. And that's kind of where we want to land things this morning. So let's hear this passage of Scripture that Paul writes to the Corinthians. And he's talking to them. He's writing to possibly a wealthier city and quite an established church in a city. And all kinds of things have been happening in Corinth. And now he's trying to collect an offering for churches like the church in Jerusalem that don't have as much as some of the wealthy Greek cities and that. And he's encouraging them about their generosity. But as I said, this is not a sermon about an offering this morning. Otherwise, I would have taken up the offering afterwards. But so Paul goes on to say in that, he says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so then in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also increase or supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. And you'll be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given to you. And then Paul says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. So a couple of weeks ago, I just shared about grace and gratitude. And it's just something that's been sitting with me. I wanted to just push into that this morning and just reflect on the fact that the foundation of our joy, the foundation of our lives, but the foundation of gratitude and thanksgiving is just because of what God has done for us. So if you go back to that sermon, it is on the website and on the podcasts and that, we see that Paul, more than any other Greek writer, so just historically, the Greek writers of that time and of all the Greek writings that we have, Paul talks about just thanksgiving, gratitude, more than any other writer. And part of it, he says, is because of, you know, I think not part of it, but part of it is the inheritance that we have. But all of it is, he continues to say, because of what God has done for us. And so grace is just something that we continue to reflect on. And that's where I find myself again and again, just overwhelmed, just kind of, what's the word, like sometimes just blown away. What's up? Sorry? Okay. I thought maybe it was me. But just because of what he's doing for us, what he's done for us. So God, in his love, in his generosity, in his mercy, in his grace, in the fact of who he is, and this is the thing that always just blows me away, not because of us, not because of what I've done, not because of anything that he found in me, but because of who he is and his nature and his character. He chose to share all of himself with us. And that is the indescribable grace and gift of God. And that's when Paul just starts talking about this all-surpassing grace, this indescribable gift. God's favor, the ironic blessing that I was reflecting of, God's smile, his generosity, the fact that he turns his face. He turns his face to us like a parent, a father or a mother just takes the face of a child and holds it and smiles upon them and says, you belong to me and I want to give everything to you. There's nothing like that in all the world. There's nothing like just the fact that the creator of this universe, the creator of this world, would hold us and hold our gaze and go, you're mine. I belong to you. And I want to pour out everything that is me into you. And that is grace. That is God's goodness. That is his mercy. So the interesting thing here is, if I just go back to that verse that I was sort of reflecting on and repeated, Paul says, what? Do you want to go out? Oh. Yeah, you could have told me that 40 minutes ago. How? Oh, no, my message is it's not connected. Okay, I thought it was your iPad. Let's put your hand up. So they're misbehaving, they want to go out. Off you go. And the kids get, I don't know what you're on about. So my iPad is off. I turn everything on silent. He's messaging me saying, can the kids be excused? I'm going, well, going to pour tea on someone's head after the service. That's a good idea. Yeah, Bev, will you close the door behind them? Oh. Cool. Okay, let's carry on. After all that giggling and misbehaving and So Paul says this verse, if you can come back and join me again, Paul, when he talks about all that God has done for us, he says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. And the powerful thing, the just amazing thing there, is when Paul says, thanks be to God, the actual Greek word is not Eucharist or, you know, like what we think of. The Greek word for thanksgiving is Eucharist, when we celebrate what God has done for us. He actually just uses the word grace. So it's interesting. God has poured out grace into our lives. And then another way of using the word grace is thanks. And it's quite strange because he could have used another word. He says grace to God. Grace to God because of his indescribable gift. Because of the gift that God has given us. It's like grace to God. So it's not incomprehensible because words are used in different contexts, and the context of a word actually describes its meaning. We were having this argument with Sarah, or this discussion with her over the weekend, and we were saying, you're using this word wrong. And she was like, no, it doesn't matter because it's always context. And that's in actual fact right. Context describes everything. But there's the sense in which there's the circularity of grace. One author talks about the reciprocity of grace, but I think of it as this like never-ending circle. So God, not because of what we do, God gifts us with himself. He gifts us with love. He gifts us with favor. He shines down upon us. He smiles at us. And the response of that is also, if you think of a child. So if you ever looked at a little child, played with, you know, kid from children's church or someone in the family and that kind of thing, and when you get them, when you smile at them, they mirror you and they smile back. When you get them to laugh, they laugh back at you. And there's the same relationship with God. When God smiles upon us, when he's joyful towards us, our response is that we smile back and we laugh back and we're filled with love. And that is why when Paul says, it's almost like, so we give thanks, we smile back, we're gracious back to God. Not in a way that now we can give him what he gave us. No, that's not what Paul's saying. But in just this thanksgiving response. So what I said 2 weeks ago, and this is the thing that continues to sit with me with this, is that it's like we have access to something, a grace, a favor, a generosity, a gratefulness that the rest of the world doesn't have. So when Paul talks about thanksgiving and joy and things like this, it's not just about attitude. It's not about, we read these passages of joy and we think, I must just be more thankful and I should have a better attitude. And, you know, there's people in our, you know, I'm a glass half full person and, you know, Bev is a glass half empty person. Maybe it's the other way. Robin's just going, oh no, that's not true. So it's not about that. It's about as believers, whatever your personality type, whatever, you know, your gift mix and the different sort of attributes, you've got all these different personality tests and types and the way we measure things. Now, aside from all of that, we have access to a store, a wealth of gratitude because of what God has done for us. And when he looks upon us and favors us, it's like our natural response is to be favored and almost smile back and give thanks back to him. So one of the most powerful sort of scriptures out of this, there are many. You know, you can be reading Exodus or you could be reading the Psalms or the prophets or something like that. But one of the most sort of powerful reminders of the fact that we have a gratitude, that we have the store of gratitude, is Ephesians chapter 1. It's a couple of verses out of Ephesians chapter 1. It says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. I mean, so sometimes, Paul has a whole chapter here, but sometimes I just read one of these verses and I go, okay, that's enough for me for the week. I could just feed on this, like all day. Every spiritual blessing in Christ, God has made available to us, because he chose us. I'm chosen before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. I can't even do the maths on that. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus in accordance with his pleasure and will. It made God pleased and joyful. It filled him with hope and love and laughter and joy. He was pleased. He said, I'm going to do this. Like, it's a dumb idea. Proved a dumb idea. You just read the history of Israel. Stupid idea a lot of the time. It's like, you know. And God was like, it gives me joy. Just to choose them and favor them and bless them. I know they're going to stuff it up. You know, it's like they're going to mess it up. They're going to make calves and they're going to wander off this way. They're going to get into trouble and they keep always making idols and they keep always finding other things to worship. But I'm going to love them anyway. And I'm going to love them and favor them and grace them till they get so tired of all of that, they can only come back to me. And that's what it feels like in my story. Where was I? I was a few verses in. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, thank goodness, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he's made known to us the mystery of his will, according again to his good pleasure. It just pleases him, which he purposed in Christ. And then it goes on, where am I in about verse 15? You can jump ahead, but you can just keep reading Ephesians chapter 1. He says, for this reason, ever since I've heard about your faith in the Lord and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. And in Ephesians chapter 1 and in all of Paul's letters in actual fact, he just keeps talking about God has done this. I'm thankful. Give thanks because consider, reflect on what God has done. So again, whether you're a joyful person or a melancholic person, you know, whether you're feeling like, you know, all your hopes and dreams were answered in the elections, or whether your road has just been newly tarred, or whether you're driving down the road and you know that by the time you get to the bottom, you're going to need a new axle or tires or something like that. Paul's going, it's not about any of that. It's about what God has done. We have a wealth, a storehouse of thanksgiving and gratitude. And then Paul says, so continue to give thanks. He's saying because of something that no one else has, we can be grateful. And now it can become a habit and an attitude. Because then Paul goes on to say silly things, really. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, he says, so then, as you've received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live in him. So now this grace that kind of gets us going is something that we continue to push into and live into. We continue to live in Jesus, rooted, built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. So Paul, when Paul talks about thankfulness or gratitude, he almost then begins to just encourage it, almost command it. It just says, your life should overflow with thanksgiving. And then you go, well, have you seen my neighborhood? Do you know my friends? Have you met my family? You know, and we think of all these exceptions. But I mean, he's writing to people who were in the minority, who were oppressed, who were living in the midst of an empire that often was martyring them. So Paul's like, well, do you want to make a list? I think I'll win. You know, and Paul just comes and he just starts saying, well, you know, it's something that can become part of who we are. And so it brings me to this major point. The psychiatrist Gerald May is a Christian psychiatrist, and I read a book of his many, many years ago, and I can't even find this exact quote, but it just blew me away, because he has a book on grace. And when he talks about grace, he says, grace is the most powerful force in the universe. He's talking about God's grace. I mean, he's talking about grace in the context of what God has done for us. And so Paul has this understanding as we read here. So whether you read Jesus in the Gospels or whether you read what Paul is saying here, and now centuries later, you read the psychiatrist who's dealing with people with brokenness and particularly addiction. So he wrote, quite a lot into the space of addiction like 30 years ago or wherever it was. And he discovered that the thing that frees people, the thing that transforms people, is God's incredible, indescribable, merciful love and favor in their lives. And then he wrote, grace is the most powerful force in the universe for people who are broken and bound and trapped. It's grace that sets them free. Isn't that amazing? So here's the thing. God's grace changes our lives. Said another way, God himself intends to change how we live and think and behave in this world. That's his plan. It's called transformation. And grace is transformative. So the favor that God pours out, just the sense of himself, this thing that pleases him in Ephesians chapter 1, it pleases him to choose us and bless us and give us an inheritance and pour out mercy and love and favor into our lives on the basis of his pleasure. That has the sense of transforming us. This word says it. We give grace to God. It graces us that we thank him. As I said, it's like we smile back at him. We laugh with him. It's like our whole demeanor, our lives change. We go from being bound and being captive and being in a place of hopelessness to a place of laughter. We start laughing with God, and we go, yes, to him. And so what God gifts us with, his grace, can change our lives. Like nothing else in this world. And so what is our response? On the one hand, it's contagious. It's almost like we can't help ourselves. We smile back. We laugh with him. We say yes to him. And then we learn. We learn. And we start learning. And we practice. And we fall. And we try. And we fail. But we start saying, I want to spend my life smiling back, laughing back, saying yes to Jesus. And so Colossians chapter 2, Paul says, as you received Christ, as you received this transformative, incredible power, continue to live in him. Don't take it for granted. Don't just look back and go, oh, you know, when I went to this conference, when I said this prayer, when I had this amazing worship experience, that was so great. I wish I had that. We go, no, I want more of him. And there's more of me that needs him. Do you ever feel like that? There's more of me that just needs more of him. If you don't, chat to someone close to you. Get some hints, some tips. They'll say, well, you know, you kind of wake up very joyful. You don't always go to bed very joyful. All the other way around. You know, I come from a family where, I mean, it was like my dad was always up and doing things in the morning, and the rest of us just emulated my mother. Like, don't talk to us until you give us some tea or something like that. It's like, you know, like until my coffee's had a half an hour to have effect, it's like, you know, I should have like a warning sign up or something like that. You know, so the point with all of this is like, there is always space. There's always space for more of God. There's always room for more of his grace, his gift to transform my life. And that's not something that should like pull us down in the dumps. That should be something that just inspires us. That just gives us such joy. It's like, wow, he's not finished with us. You know, Bev goes, thank you, Jesus, he's not. But I mean, the other point, I go, but it's so cool. He's not finished with me. And I sing that song this morning and I think, you know, all my life he has been faithful. I don't know about you, I don't doubt that. It's like I go, there are times I should have died, there are times that people should have killed me, people very close to me, it's like, and they didn't, you know. It's like all my life he's been faithful. It's just, it's incredible. And that makes me thank him. Thanks be to God. It makes me respond in grace. There's a gratitude that is a response to God. He smiles on me. It pleases him. And that's where I think of just Isaac. You know, I think of laughter. It must please God to the point of laughing. I don't know, I'll just make this up. But I think creation must have had the Trinity in hysterics. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They must have been creating and just like laughing. You know, because I mean, people like, you know, climb to places in the world or they dive to places in the sea and they discover flowers or things that have never been discovered or seen by humanity. And they go, wow, look at this. And then God starts laughing. You know, we planned that. That was one of our, like, we were laughing. We thought, you know what, we're going to stick this flower on the top of Everest or whatever, canning themselves with laughter, going, one day they're going to discover this. Took them, like, how many years, you know? And so I think there's joy. There is joy in the heart of God. It pleased him. It filled him with pleasure to choose you, to decide to give you love and mercy and favor that is boundless, that is indescribable, says Paul, that is all-surpassing. It gave him joy. And he said, I want this to be contagious. That it starts making you joyful, thankful, full of grace. So where I wanted to go, I'm going to land this part of the whole sermon this morning, and I'm not even going to go into it as much as I thought, is that Paul is talking about, because of what they've received, they can be generous and they can send resources to other parts of the kingdom. And Paul says, you have been filled with grace. God has been generous to you. You can be generous. And you know what? Those people are going to be filled with thanksgiving. And they're going to give thanks for you. but they're going to give thanks to God. And it's like, wow, this thing becomes a virus. Okay? It's like the grace that we've received is meant to be contagious. And it's meant to flow from us into our world. That Paul says, people will give thanks to God. People will be transformed. And in a sense, it's quite hard because Paul's saying, people are going to be thankful and they're going to give thanks to God because of you. And that's the mission of the church. That this grace becomes missional. It becomes something that we share. And that we pass on to others. And that people go, maybe God does love me. But because of you and I. Because of things that we do. And that's a massive challenge. It's a huge challenge. The goodness, the mercy, the love, the abounding faithfulness is also meant to touch our world. So people need to come to us and they should be like, why are you laughing? What happened? Did you win the lotto? It's like, no. How's your bank account? Awful. You know, how's my back this week? Terrible. It's like, all these things. How's my neck or my ear? Oh, it's awful. It's terrible. Why are you laughing? Because God smiles upon me. Because God has smiled his favor onto me. And how can we share that with others? And even when your face is like, we watched Paolini playing the Wimbledon finals yesterday. So she's got this Italian, funny, this Italian father and the mother's Polish Ghanaian or something like that. You know, but I mean, they're both, but I mean, she's, you know, this Italian player that was in the Wimbledon final. And every time they went to the dad, he had this look. You know that old man grumpy scowl on his face? And the expression on his face never changed. So if she lost the point or if she won the point, he had this, but you could see he was going, but his son was laughing, his face didn't change. But somehow you could see, okay, she's got this, you know. And he still looked as grumpy as anything, you know. And so even in that, people will go, why are you grumpy? No, I'm like, you know, I'm perturbed, but I'm still filled with what God has done for me. So let's just receive now. We've worshipped this morning. But why don't we for a moment just open our hands and just say, God, just blow us away again with all that you've done for us. Let it just transform our lives. So why don't you stand with me? Wriggle your toes and let's stand and pray. Do something we don't always do. And open your hearts, open your hands, but let's just pray again. Lord, let your love change the way we live. Lord, let your favor, your smile, let your joy and your laughter just blow us away again.